For those that don't know him, Steve is the regional director of Spanish-speaking South America with the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. They live in Arequipa, Peru, where they have started several churches there, but now regional director. But they still minister there in Arequipa, Peru, and then all over South America as God has directed them in that ministry. So, Steve, time's yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Don. Good evening. Great to be with you again. As I said this morning, for Debbie and I, it's always a blessing when we can be here and connect up with our church family and just share together, worship, fellowship, participate in some activities. What a blessing for us to be here again after some time. Appreciate your prayers. Your prayers count. Our prayers count. They don't always produce what we might hope that they would produce, but our prayers always produce what God wants them to produce. Prayer is never offered in vain, and it produces what God has in mind. Thank you for praying for us and for our missionaries. Talking about Meta, her sister is a missionary in our region. Brazil is another region, Portuguese-speaking, and we working with Spanish-speaking South America. And her sister is a missionary in Chile. We were able to create a WhatsApp group for every one of our teams so that we can follow the teams, connect with them. They post prayer requests, we respond, they pray for each other. We know about trips and needs. So that was a great thing that was helpful to us, to create a WhatsApp group for every one of our teams in Spanish South America. And Ruth Ann was putting posts about her sister on the Chile group and asking for prayer. And we were able to follow that and pray and participate in that as well. Appreciate your prayers for all of your missionaries. God bless you. It produces the fruit that God has determined that it will. Wonderful. Sometimes it helps me to view life, even marriage, when I teach on marriage and life, the Christian life, as if we're in a boat in an ocean, and the waves of what life come up and hit our boat and rock us and just tip us and throw us all over. Now, we're in good shape, right, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and he's the pilot of the boat, and we're in the boat with him, and so we're in good shape if he's the pilot of the boat, right? But still, the waves of life hit us. Sometimes it's health. And new health things come on the page that we never experienced before. And sometimes it's from the morning till the night. And sometimes something in our marriage comes up or a problem with our children. Sometimes it's a job scenario that changes on us or our finances. Most recently in 2020 and up through 2021, for us in South America, it's been the COVID scenario. And it's just like it completely throws us throws us kind of off course in what we're thinking. But Jesus is still guiding us, and he's taking us on the course that he wants us to. But these waves of life hit us, and they crash over us. Sometimes it feels like we're crushed down at the bottom of the boat, and we're just getting up from a health or a family or a financial or a job or a ministry scenario, just catching our breath and coming up from the bottom of the boat when another wave comes and crushes us down again. But we're in the boat, right? We're with Jesus, and he's the pilot, and we're in the boat, and we're okay. But these things do hit us. And sometimes as we're going through this, we have to find a new equilibrium. And the waves settle down, and we're kind of in a different direction that Jesus is taking us in our life. We have to find a new equilibrium, but Jesus is there. And sometimes we feel quite alone as the waves of life hit us. We desperately need one another in encouragement, in prayer, in tangible help, as we do and we know to do, but sometimes we feel quite alone. And I believe the disciples felt that way. Go with me to John chapter 14. Would like to review with you a passage and a concept that has become basically the foundation of our ministry direction. Have a dual ministry, as Don mentioned. Our ongoing missionary ministry in Arequipa and Peru, and our regional director ministry. So, have a bit of a dichotomy there, but a dual ministry of missionary and director, and they weave together very nicely It's a blessing that we continue there in Arequipa as our base and are involved in local ministries. Shared with you that I just taught a missions course in our local Bible college this past semester. And now starting tomorrow night, Debbie is Tuesday evenings online, virtual classes, teaching this semester a course to the ladies. And I think she has 20 or 30 ladies signed up for that. So if you remember that, that's Tuesday nights for Debbie starting tomorrow night. And involved in the local churches there in New Life, they have a pastoral team and continue to work with them and help them and participate in ministries there. And then the other churches in Arequipa that have been established will call me for meetings and conferences and counsel. And so we'll help with all of that there in the city and New Life and then around Peru and South America. In John chapter 14, the disciples felt devastated. Jesus had just died on the cross and had just been buried, and he was in the tomb. He was our hope. He was our faith. He was everything. We were counting on him. Now, some of the Jews thought that he was going to institute the earthly kingdom right then and there, and they would finally be liberated from the Roman Empire. That was not the timing. Jesus came to establish a spiritual empire, not a literal physical empire yet. That still will come in the future. And he's gone. And what do we do? And even the disciples of living with him, walking with him, ministering with him for three and a half years saw, what, 1,000 miracles? Heard 1,000 messages, sometimes sermons, sometimes his comments to one or two people, sometimes via parables. There was a time when he was preaching through parables all of the time. It tells us in the New Testament. And in the temple and in homes, heard 1,000 messages, 1,000 sermons, understood, believed, and now he's dead. He's in the tomb. And their world came crashing down, and it felt like all of the waves of the world were crashing down upon them. And what do we do now? And at one point, Peter said, well, go fishing. I guess we'll go back to fishing. But the Lord met with them in Galilee and gave them instructions. And then he met with them again in Jerusalem. And they began to understand that this was not the moment that Jesus was going to establish his earthly kingdom. That'll be in the future. But he is establishing his spiritual kingdom. And he's establishing his church. I will build my church. And we understand that the church actually started there a few days after Jesus rose from the dead. He was on the earth for 40 days, Acts 1 tells us. He appeared and he was on the earth in his resurrected form for 40 days. And then he ascended back to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit came and the church started there in Acts chapter 2. And Christ is continuing to build his worldwide church. You're a part of it. We're a part of it. The believers in Peru and Arequipa and South America and China and around the world are part of his worldwide church. He's building his worldwide church. It's a spiritual kingdom. But at this moment, in John 14, the disciples were confused. They were devastated. Their world just crushed down upon themselves. And in John 14, before Jesus died and was in the tomb, he tried to encourage them, and he shared some things with them which they didn't understand at this moment, but they did shortly thereafter. And in John 14, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And in verse 5, Thomas is confused. No, we're not exactly sure where you're going, what you're saying, and how to follow you, and what is the path. And Jesus in verse 6 says, yes, you do. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father through me. So you have believed in me, and you know me, and through me you know the Father, and you know about heaven, and that's all you need to know right now. And you can have comfort and peace. And he shares with them as we move forward that as I go back to the Father, I will send you another helper. Yes, physically I am leaving, but I will not leave you spiritually. You have believed in me. You have embraced me as your Savior and Lord. In John 1:12, when it says, as many as received the Lord, the Greek word received is really the idea of embraced as your own. You have embraced me as your own personal Savior and Lord. I am with you until the end of the world. I will always be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. But physically, he was going back to the right hand of the Father. But spiritually, he would continue to be their pastor of pastors, their Lord, their Savior, their guide. He would live in them. He would be with them. He would teach them. He would guide them. He would accompany them. And he says, besides that, I am going to give you, we will give you, the Trinity, another help, another helper. And so we have that in verse 16 of John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will send you another helper, that he will may abide with you. He will send you another helper. So the word helper here, and in some versions it's translated comforter. I like the translation here in the New King James, helper. It's the Greek word paraklete from two Greek words, para and kaleo. Para, to come alongside of, and the verb kaleo means to be called. And so called and authorized by the Father to come alongside of you to help and aid you in all of your needs. That's basically the idea of paraclete, this word here, comforter or helper. He says, I will send you another paraclete. How another? Well, Jesus is a paraclete to them and to us. He is our paraclete. Although he physically went back to heaven, he continues to live in us and guide us and is our pastor and guide and does so many things in his paraclete role in our life. The New Testament speaks of that. It speaks of Jesus' paraclete role. And he's our pastor, and he's our shepherd, he's our guide, and he protects us. He's our defender, he's our lawyer. He will represent us, he will protect us, he will defend us, he will teach us, he will guide us. And so the New Testament spells out for us much of his role as Jesus the Son, paraclete. And he says, we will send you another paraclete, another of the same. There are two Greek words for another, one which means another of the same essence, and then there's another Greek word which means another of a different type. And so we see that in Galatians, where Paul warned about people are preaching what? Another gospel. That's a different type of gospel. That's one Greek word. This Greek word, another, means another of the same. Just like me, we're going to send you another as the Holy Trinity. Send you another paraclete. And we see that it is the Holy Spirit. And so as we study the New Testament, and we see that the Holy Spirit comes to live within us from the time that we receive and embrace Christ as our personal Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us as well. And the New Testament spells out his paracleting role. And so it's amazing because God the Father, we're in his hands. John 10, we're in the Father's hands. And no one can pluck us out of his hands, and we can't fall out of his hands, and the Father is sovereign, and we're safe and secure in his hands, and we're in the Father's hands. And then we have Jesus, our paraclete, Savior and Lord, and everything that he does in our life. And then we have the Holy Spirit that comes to our lives when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the New Testament spells out a lot of his paracleting role. The Holy Spirit seals us. The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us power to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit lives within us, and we are his temple. The Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit, when we collaborate with him, produces the fruit of the Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit comforts us. He guides us. The Holy Spirit illuminates our minds so that we can understand the Word of God. So it's an amazing thing, whatever waves of life that fall upon us and just crush the breath of life out of us, we are never alone, amen? And we are secure in the Father's hands. And Jesus, our paraclete, pastor of pastors, our shepherd, our guide, lives within us and performs all of his ministry. And the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and performs all of his ministry. And we are never alone. It feels sometimes that we're alone and we're discouraged, but we are never alone if we have embraced Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we're in the Father's hands, and the Holy Spirit is with us performing his ministry, and Jesus is. We're never alone. Jesus is sharing this message with the disciples because he's about to be offered, and then he would be in the grave, and he would be raised the third day, and he knew that they would be devastated. He knew that they were confused, and they would not understand. So he's sharing this with him, with the disciples. This term, paraclete, appears five times. The Greek word paraclete appears five times in the New Testament, all with the Apostle John. Four of them are here in the Gospel of John, and one of them are in 1 John, where John said that Jesus is our lawyer, our defender, but it's the same word, paraclete. And it's just referring to another facet of Jesus' ministry of our life, where he defends us and he protects us. And he says, enough is enough. And he stands up and he'll respond for us. And he defends us and protects us. And that's in 1 John. And so that's part of Jesus' paracleting ministry. And in other passages in the New Testament, we see the Holy Spirit's paracleting ministry. One who has been called and authorized by the Father to come alongside of another to aid them, whatever their need is. There is no need beyond Jesus's, God's, the Trinity's reach. Whether the Father's work in us or the Son's work in us or the Holy Spirit's work in us, there is no problem, there is no trial, there is nothing beyond his reach to comfort us and aid us and help us. That's an amazing truth that we need to lay hold of. And it becomes more and more precious to us as we go through trials and the waves of life crush us and crush the breath out of us. It becomes more and more of a precious truth to us. And so it is, and we are never alone. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and there's a human application here to this truth. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 11. Chapter 5, verse 11, and there's a human application and element to this paracleting ministry. In verse 11, it says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Paul is writing to the local church. He's writing to us. He's writing to believers. And here, it is also that paraclete word, but in the verb form, parakaleo, and it's imperative. So what he's saying is, you know, the Father, in a sense, is a paraclete. The Son is a paraclete. The Holy Spirit is a paraclete. And the Scripture teaches us that we have there's a human application of this divine truth whereby we are also human agents and paracletes one to another. And the word here, comfort, is the word paraclete in the verb form, parakaleo. He's saying, parakaleo one another. It's a command. You, paraclete one with another. And so it's imperative, it's a command, it's paraclete in the verb form, it's second person plural. As they say down south, y'all, paraclete one with another, second person plural. And this is a command to us, the church. So just as 2 Corinthians 5 says that we as human believers, human agents, share the ministry of reconciliation with God, God reconciles us and God saves us, and the Father has a role in salvation, and the Son and the Holy Spirit has a role in salvation and people being reconciled to God and saved. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are involved in that ministry of reconciliation. I have given you the stewardship of reconciliation, and we are to take advantage of the time that we have to reach out to people and share God's love and message. And we participate with God in the ministry of reconciliation and helping people come to know Christ as Savior. We can call that missions. We can call that evangelism and discipleship. We can call that the Great Commission. We can call that you sending us to Peru to do that. And we're all to participate in the ministry of reconciliation. Well, here we see that God, the Trinity, is our paraclete and has a paraclete ministry, but we also are given the ministry of paracleting. We also have been called alongside of God to participate in his ministry of paracleting. We are commanded to come alongside of others to aid and help them as best we can. With those that know the Lord, we come alongside to edify and teach and encourage and help. We help in tangible ways, taking meals, visiting people, cleaning houses, sharing financially. We come alongside others to aid them and help them, other believers in the church and outside of the church. That's part of our paraclete ministry. And we do that in tangible ways. And we need to do that. We need to find ways to do that. And some of the ways that we paraclete are praying for one another and discipling one another and encouraging one another, comforting, teaching. But then there's other ways of financial giving and providing meals and watching the kids when the mother goes for cancer treatment and mowing their lawn and shoveling and plowing their driveway in the winter and finding tangible, spiritual and tangible ways to come alongside of others to aid them and help them any way that we can. Where we human paracletes are limited, God is not. We are to step in and serve one another and meet needs as best as we can. And where I can't do it, Joe can do it. And where Joe can't do it, Glenn can do it. And when Glenn can't do it, then Sally can do it. And if none of us can do it, then our divine, perfect paraclete will meet those needs that we humanly cannot meet. And so we're collaborating with God in the ministry of reconciliation and in the ministry of paracleting. And we do that in tangible ways. We do that with a lost world, with our neighbors and friends, and that's why we go to Peru, and that's why we go around the world, because we are also called to be paracletes to an unsaved world. Come alongside of people who don't know the Lord, show love in tangible ways, share his message, the message of salvation and help, and we're coming alongside of them in a kind of practical and salvation application so that they can know the Lord, embrace him as Savior and Lord. And with those that know the Lord and are believers, we come alongside to edify them and encourage them and comfort them and help them. And with those that don't know the Lord, we come alongside of them as well with actions of love in tangible ways, which opens doors to share the gospel, the message of God. And we share the gospel and we're coming alongside of them. We do not want to isolate ourselves from a lost world and only serve the believers. That is in violation of go and make disciples and go into all of the world and being paracletes with those that don't know the Lord. And we, as believers, we don't want to isolate ourselves from a lost world. The lost world is now 2, 3, 4, 5 steps removed from a Christian worldview. And it's harder and harder today to understand them and connect with them and find ways to identify with them and connect with them. But that is our task. We are not to give up just because it's harder today than it was back when I was growing up in the 70s. And that back in the 70s, the unsaved world was closer to a Christian worldview. And they would visit a church service, and they would come to VBS, and their kids would come to Sunday school, and they would come to a church program, and they were closer to a Christian worldview, and they were more open, and it was easier to connect and identify with them. Not so today. The world today is 4 or 5 steps further removed from a Christian worldview and practice. It's much harder to understand their mindset. It's much harder to find ways to identify with them and connect with them. But that is our task. We shall not give up. Amen? We shall not give up just because it's harder and they're less receptive and they don't want to hear it and they're leery of religion because all of the priests and pastors that have gone into sin and church divisions, and because of all of those factors and a worldly mindset, the world is over here. But still, we can start many times with tangible helps. The wife has cancer. Take her to her appointment. provide meals, watch your kids, mow their lawn, plow their driveway, offer to watch the kids, take meals over, do practical things, even financial help to them because they're suffering with a job loss or cancer or something else. And with true love, we reach out to them and paraclete with them and come alongside of them in tangible, physical ways. And we are to do that with unbelievers, not just with believers. We are to do that with unbelievers. And many times that will open the door whereby little by little we can begin to share my life story or my testimony or what God has done in my life. And little by little begin to share a gospel message. Remember, there's not one way to share the gospel message. Either read this track or give me in half an hour and I will share with you a biblical presentation of the gospel. That's wonderful when that can happen. But it doesn't always start that way. And so sometimes what we'll do is we'll share a little bit about what God has done in my life. And what I did was I drew up my own track, my life story. It's my life story. Because there's so many opportunities where I have contact with people, but there's no opportunity to take 30 minutes and give them a whole gospel presentation. So we have to find new ways and forms and methods, virtually or physically or otherwise, to plant the seed of the gospel and paraclete better with a lost world. So one idea that the Lord gave me was I drew up, you might call it my own gospel track, but it's called My Story. And very early on in my contact with people, they find out that I go to Peru, I go to South America, I'm here or there, we have projects, we work with people there. Who are you? What are you doing? That comes up very early in any conversation with someone. But I may not have 30 minutes, or they might not be open yet to hear a 30-minute gospel presentation. But I want to do something. And so I developed my life story, and I have copies of it, of course. And say, you know what? You were asking me about, you know, what I'm doing and time that we're spending in Peru, South America. I drew up a little bit about my life story. And this will explain to you, you know, what we're doing and my family and the things that we're doing down there. And, of course, partway through that, I get to the gospel. Why did we go to Peru? We didn't go to Peru to take them another religion. Peru does not need another religion. Peru has a long history of religion. We're not there to share with them another religion. We're there to share with them in tangible ways the love of God and also share with them the message of God because they're confused. And many people don't understand the difference between a religion and a personal relationship with God. And they're confused on that. And so that's why we're there, not to take them another religion, but to share with them how they can have a personal relationship with God. And so from there, in my life story, I go into the gospel presentation. And they have it, and they have to read it. Well, I suppose they can stop reading. They don't have to read it, right? But but they have to read it. And so that is one way that you know, trying to come alongside empirically with a lost world, find another way to be able to plant the seed of the gospel in a way that could be acceptable to them and low pressured, etc. Of course, it's friendship, what we call friendship evangelism, and many other ways, right? We need to find ways to paraclete with a lost world. When we go to the mission field, do you expect us to plant a clone of this church? And if you were to come down and visit us, the main service, well, now it's at 9:30, right? And Sunday school's at 11, and then Sunday evening at 6, and prayer meeting is at 7, and youth and children program is Wednesday, and Saturday is this, and Sunday. Do you expect to find a clone of IBC and all of the churches that we plant in South America? Well, to be honest with you, there are missionaries that do that and don't know any better, and that's the gospel truth. But we have classes and courses that would train our missionaries not to do that. You expect the missionary to adjust to his culture, right? You expect me to dress like they do and eat their food and adjust to their culture and identify with them. And then when I start the church, find ways to connect with them, which is different from here, and find ways that would do discipleship and evangelism and all of that that might be different from here. Some would be the same. So, and you expect the missionary to do his homework and to do that. This is where we are today. We have to do the same. The lost world is five steps removed from the Bible, from church, from a Bible knowledge, from a church relationship, from a Christian worldview. And we have to find new forms and ways to connect and identify with people and ways to show the love of God and plant the seed. And may God give us wisdom. And may God direct us and help us. And may we have discussions. How do we do this today in Bradford County, in our setting, which is different than what it was 15 years ago? And then we're paracleting with the believers and coming alongside of them and helping them. And this is our ministry. Well, this is the foundation of our missionary and regional director missionary. We've taken this as our ministry is to come alongside the lost, come alongside the pastors, come alongside their wives, the new churches, our neighbors, our friends, people I can play tennis with at the club, and just be a good paraclete. And may God give us wisdom and direction how to paraclete with those that know the Lord and those that don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And what are ways and forms to do that? And come alongside of them and help them in tangible ways. And what's the best way to come alongside and help the pastors and the churches and our neighbors and our friends and the missionaries around Spanish South America and the churches and the seminary ministry and the camp ministry and the prenatal center? And what is the best way for Debbie and I to come alongside in our ministry of the local churches and, friends to reach out to them and edify them and share the word? And so we've adapted this spiritual concept and truth as the foundation of our ministry. So let me walk you quickly through our ministries, and we're going to take a tour of Spanish South America this evening and share just a little bit more. It's been a while since I've given you a bit of more of a complete update on what's happening in our region, so we would like to do this tonight. So as we apply this to our lives, we need to be a good paraclete to our spouse. It starts in the home. Paraclete ministry starts in the home with our spouse. And then to our children, and children to parents, and then the greater family, and then with the church, and then with those that don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, and neighbors and friends. And how can we apply? And this is developed in part through the one another's. You remember the one another commands in the New Testament, the one another's? Love one another, forgive one another, bear with one another, serve one another, pray for one another, help one another. There's approximately 50 one another's in the New Testament. So we can fulfill our paracleting ministry through the one another commands. And that's the vision that we have, and that's the foundation of our ministry. So Debbie was born and raised in the jungles of Peru. She was born in Iquitos, in the jungles of Peru. And I was born in the forest of Pennsylvania. This is our homestead. Wow, doesn't look much different, does it? And our family, we have two daughters that I mentioned this morning. Nicole, our oldest, is married to Pastor Paul Vargas, who was one of our Bible college students, who obviously at the time I didn't know he would end up being my son-in-law. And so they got married, and they have two children, Kayla and Tadeo, and doing a wonderful ministry. Paul is the lead pastor of New Life Baptist Church. We've been involved, had a hand in the planting of 5 churches in Arequipa, 2 more than the other 3. And this is the latest church that the Lord helped us and enabled us to establish, and Paul is the lead pastor. We have 2 other pastors that work there, and then when I am there, I'm what I would call a paracleting pastor and come alongside of them and do and aid them and help them in whatever they request of me as best I can. And so Kayla 6 and Tadeo is 3. Peru, country of about 33 million. Our city is the second largest city. It's a city of about a million. It's known as the Little Rome of Peru because it was founded in 1540 by Jesuit priests. And so it carries that Catholic flavor and influence up until today very strongly, and that's why it's known as the Little Rome of Peru. Acts 26, our goal and your goal is to see people turn from darkness to light. Darkness to light. And that we would be a light. Israel was to be a light to the nations. And as Don is working through Genesis, in the beginning stages of the nation of Israel, Many times it was not a very bright light, and many times throughout its history it was not a very bright light, but that was God's command and design that Israel would bring glory to him and be a light to all of the nations. And we are, and Christ is building his worldwide church, and we are to be a light to our neighborhood, in our friends, in our contacts, and to our nation. Our end vision, we're about participating in evangelism and discipleship, and as we paraclete with and partner with and work with the local pastors and leaders and churches and ministries to see churches planted, church planting movement, and eventually to see those churches fulfill the Great Commission, be involved in the Great Commission, and to see them begin to send missionaries around the world. And wonderful things are happening. Peru has adopted this vision. You can understand it in Spanish, right? Peru a what? Peru a? Epicenter of worldwide missions. Out of Peru, may there be a ripple evangelistic effect that out of Peru and Peruvian missionaries that we will reach the world, that we will impact the world. Peru, epicenter of worldwide missions. And it's beginning to happen. Exciting things. And then my vision that I shared with our SSA team, Spanish South America team, is that we want South America to be a launching pad for worldwide missions. We want to see an army of leaders trained and a multitude of churches planted throughout South America, and that South America be a launching pad for worldwide missions, the Great Commission. So, focusing quickly on our missionary ministry role, it's been fivefold of partnering to plant churches, strengthen churches, and see a church planting movement. And we praise God that is happening. I shared this morning that when we arrived in Arequipa, there were zero Baptist churches, and today there are over 70. So to see the partnering and the vision and church planting movement, and now out of those churches and other churches throughout Peru, to see them sending missionaries around the world is the goal. Second, of course, is leadership training. Where do we get leaders and pastors for all of these 70 churches that are being started? Can you go to a local orchard and pick them off the tree? How are we going to get leaders for all of these churches and leaders that will be Peruvian missionaries to go around the world? So I mean, really, training. Training is incredibly important. Mentoring, coaching, training. Started a Bible college. It's now over 20 years old. And being able to train people, believers, for the local church ministry, and then those that would be pastors and wives and missionaries and wives. And that's a wonderful ministry. And as I said, starting Tuesday, Debbie will be teaching the ladies. Curiously, that is Pastor Paul as a seminary student when I was teaching one of the courses many years before Nicole even crossed his mind. Third ministry would be pastors, mentor, coach, partner, work with the pastors. We have a pastor's fellowship, pastor's wives fellowship, church fellowship, getting churches together, and working together to train, plant churches, and send missionaries. I call this auxiliary ministry, such as we started a camp by God's grace with Debbie's parents. We founded a camp in 1986. This camp is still going, and it's been a wonderful blessing, and we have medical teams that come down. We have counseling ministries. There's a local Baptist orphanage that we support. There's a local Baptist rehab center that we support. And with our teammates, Dave and Melanie Woodard, and other local believers and churches there, trying to get a prenatal/family counseling center off the ground. And so if that catches your heart's mind, then pray for that, because we're still trying to get that off the ground down at the camp there. And number five, teamwork with the pastors, with ABW missionaries in Arequipa, in Peru, in Spanish South America, and around the world. Teamwork. Teamwork. We don't need to be the same to have teamwork. Don, this morning in one of the Sunday school classes, was talking about tolerance and patience and love and forgiveness and gentleness, and that's what we need in a church, and that's what we need for teamwork, because We aren't going to think alike, and we don't act alike, and we don't have the same personalities, but we can work together. We can work together. This was just a chart I drew up years ago about the church planting movement and the mother church and then the daughter church and the granddaughter church and a little bit. We won't get into that, but praise the Lord for church planting movement. New Life Baptist Church, where Pastor Paul is the lead pastor. And here's the pastoral team. Paul on the left, I'm on the right. And so the two other men were pastors. They were pastors of other churches, but they felt God leading them to focus on missions, on missions. And so they turned their churches over to other men, and they became part of the New Life pastoral team. And these two men, Pablo and Mauricio, focus on missions. But either one of them could be the pastor of this church, could be a pastor of any church. But humility and working together in teamwork and the focus on missions has them working in New Life. Just a wonderful thing, wonderful thing. Focusing now on our second role, that of the regional director of Spanish South America. Here are some of our responsibilities. We work with the missionary and his family needs, his ministry and what his ministry will be, and strategic planning for his ministry, and troubleshooting, and so on and so forth in his ministry. We have a common vision for all of Spanish South America. Every missionary with ABW in Spanish South America is to embrace that vision. And in our strategic plans, every one of our ministries are to strategically and significantly contribute to that one vision. And we have different objective areas, and we have different ministry areas, but all of them contribute to our one vision of what we're all about in Spanish South America. And so part of my role is explaining the vision, promoting it, and helping them with strategic plans and seeing how their ministry fits in and contributes to the regional vision and what we're trying to accomplish in South America. And the missionary with the field team, I work closely with the field team leaders and the field team, and with their churches and supporting churches back in the States, I connect up with them for different reasons. And of course, with the mission agency, I'm a liaison between our missionaries and the home office in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And then, of course, with our local partners. It's all about our local partners. It's about in training our local partners, our local leaders, our local believers, our local partners, training them, partnering with them, networking with them, and empowering them so that they can start churches, train leaders, and send missionaries around the world. Amen? And so that's an overview of our RD ministry. So let's take a quick trip from north to south, Colombia. We have teammates in Bogota. And then up further north on the coastal town of Santa Marta. And then back in the middle of Medellin, which if you remember back in the 70s, 80s, that was the famous drug lord Pablo Escobar. That was his home area. He owned the city of Medellin. And praise the Lord, now we have missionaries there and are planting churches there. Exciting. So, next country south, Ecuador. We have missionaries there in the Quito and in Cumbaya. And no, this is not the Africa Cumbaya, Cumbaya. There's two Cumbayas. There's one in Africa and there's one in Ecuador. I bet you didn't know that. Yes, we have a Cumbaya too. It's right by Quito. And the country Ecuador in Spanish means equator. And the equator obviously runs right through the middle, and that's where it got its name. Ecuador, Spanish, means equator. And then we have some other teammates in the coastal area of Ecuador. And now to Peru, over in the jungle area of Iquitos, where Debbie was born, and her parents were doing a boat river ministry from Iquitos up the river. And she swam with dolphins, and she swam with piranha. And no, they didn't eat her. She's still here. But she did swim with piranha and dolphins and monkeys. She had a monkey as a pet and a parakeet and a parrot. And what a life she had. What a life she had growing up. Fascinating. We have missionaries there still doing work. Iquitos is known as the motorcycle capital of Peru. Oh, it's amazing, all sorts of motorcycles. It's incredible. 90% of the vehicles in Iquitos are motorcycles. Yeah, it's amazing. So from there, we go over to the coastal area, Chiclayo. We have teammates working there in the northern coastal area, fishing area. You go a little bit further south, and of course, we come to the capital city of Lima. It has anywhere from 10 to 13 million people. About a third of the population of the country live in the city of Million. It's a monster. But we have wonderful ministries there, praise God. Beautiful coastal area, upper class, and also they have, of course, what we would call shanty towns and the needy areas. It's all areas of Peru do. And then go down to Ica, where we've had ministries for many years, a little Bible Institute there, church planting there, and then, of course, Arequipa. Our town is located in southern Peru, situated at 8,000 feet. That's exactly a mile and a half. So forget Denver, the mile-high city. We're the mile-and-a-half-high city. We win. And you'll see that we're close to Chile. We're only about 4.5 hours from the Chile border. And you're aware of our ministries there in Arequipa. Continuing south, we have missionaries in Santiago. And then up north in the Iquique area. And then down south, we also have missionaries working there. Heading east, over to Argentina, we had missionaries in Buenos Aires. Now we only have partners in churches there. We don't have any missionaries there. But we do have a new family up north in northern Argentina. So we expanded out of Buenos Aires up to northern Argentina, where we never had missionaries before. So good stuff, great stuff. Missionaries in Paraguay and Asunción and over on the western side of Paraguay. We don't have any missionaries there right now, but we have a family that, Lord willing, will be heading there. Here's a milestone for us. We've been praying for years and years to open the field of Uruguay. Years and years to open the field of Uruguay. So Lord willing, with one family, we'll be going into Uruguay next year. Amen? Wonderful. And so we will have missionaries in seven countries. I've just listed for you seven countries in Spanish South America that Debbie and I help to oversee and administer, and we have to travel to all of those countries. And when we're there, we connect up with our local missionaries, and then we connect up, obviously, with the local churches. And we'll speak in the churches and do conferences and teach in their seminaries and help them any way that we can. And empower our local leaders, empower our local pastors and the local churches, and just facilitate and train and paraclete with them and empower them to train leaders and plant churches and send missionaries around the world. We have a burden for Bolivia, and we would like to get into Bolivia. We have some contacts there, so we need to visit the country, do a survey there, and just have a beginning of a presence in Bolivia. That's on the page. And also Venezuela in the future. Americans are not welcome in Venezuela. But we have partners in Venezuela. We have a Arequipa Peruvian missionary family in Caracas, Venezuela. And I spoke with him for an hour on the phone a couple weeks ago. And he says, man, when you can get to visit us, bring courses, do training for us, or we can do it virtually through Zoom or some other way. So we're working with partners in countries where we are not there yet as missionaries. And that's part of our philosophy. Okay, so we have proven missionaries in at least 25 countries of the world, at least five continents of the world. So we're getting from what was a pioneer zero Baptist churches in Arequipa to two churches, five churches, up to 70 churches, and training leaders, and some of those to be missionaries. And of course, Lima, much Lima, where the gospel has been longer than Arequipa, and training them. And so now, out of our local churches in Peru, we have Peruvian missionaries in over 25 countries of the world, five continents. And so we're getting there. South America, a what? South America, a what? Epicenter and a launching pad for worldwide missions. And God is doing mighty things. And God is building his church in Peru and South America, and he's using Peruvians and Chilenos and Brazilians going around the world to do the gospel ministry. Oh, the Great Commission isn't just for developed countries. And that's something that we have to teach them. Great Commission isn't just for developed countries. It's for everybody. And God can help us find a way, and God can help them find a way. Their forms are different. Their sending mechanisms are different. Their ways of doing things are different. Some of them are bivocational, some are not. But there's a way. There's a way for every country, every place to be involved in the Great Commission, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. And we're seeing it happen. And we praise God, exciting things. So these are some of the things that we're focusing on in our RD ministry. Some of the culture of our SSA team, it's important to us. Some of the things that we're cultivating and participating in, focusing on, that is important to us. Mm-hmm. I choose a theme for the region every year, and the theme for this year is caring for one another. And so in my monthly newsletter sent out to all of our missionaries, we have about 70 adults in our region of Spanish South America, in these seven countries, about 70 adults. And I send out a monthly newsletter to them. And we cover this topic and prayer requests and many other things. And just trying to unite the region together as one big team. We're one big team, and we teamwork and we network and we partner on a missionary level and on a local, national level. And this is part of our philosophy. So thank you, as I said this morning, for your investment in our lives and in our ministries. Now, just for you, I've tacked on just a few old memory slides. Okay, you ready for this? Just for you. Well, first of all, I know what Don is going to be doing in his retirement age stage. I know what he's going to be doing. Here it is. Yeah, he's going to establish his own mini airline to fly Bradford County in northeastern Pennsylvania. So it's all ready to go. Oh. That slide isn't clear, is it? I don't know what happened. Anyways, just a couple of slides of some of the teams that went down in previous years. Recognize anybody? Remember which trip it is? The Bread of Life Church with Pastor. Anybody remember Pastor? Pastor Luis or Lucho? And we helped them with a building project there. Mm-hmm. That top part there, we helped them with. On that trip and some other things as well. And so that was a neat trip, neat experience. Many blessings as you have sent teams down to be with us. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. It's for your honor and glory. It's for you. It's about you. It's through you. Only you can do it. We are blessed to be participants in the ministry of reconciliation and in the ministry of paracleting. We are blessed to participate with you, that you have called us and authorized us to be involved in those ministries to build up and reach out. The theme of our church summarizes it all: build up and reach out. We thank you, Father, for the believers, for the pastors, for the wise, for the churches. Thank you for these Peruvian missionaries that are going around the world. Many of them are struggling right now, both with COVID and lost income, because the brethren have not been able to work. And if they can't work properly, then they can't give normal tithes and offerings. And so our pastors are suffering, our missionaries are suffering. We plead, Father, for your mercy and your help. But thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for building your church here in Peru and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.